Professor Mike Hazelton is a professor of mental health nursing at the University of Newcastle. He's been named a national ambassador for BPD Awareness Week, which is this week. So what better person to help us all understand this a little bit better? Good morning, Professor Hazelton.
Good morning, Jenny. Good morning, Dan.
What is borderline personality disorder?
Yes, look, it's obviously a personality disorder, which is a particular type of form of mental ill health. And as you can imagine with personality, we think of our personality as sort of long-term characteristics that each person has around emotions, behavior, the way we think. And that all operates within a set of normal circumstances. But for some people, for reasons that are not completely clear scientifically, they seem not to develop those personality characteristics in the way that other people do. So, in that case, their personality doesn't develop in the way that you might expect.
The word borderline makes me think you're on the edge of a personality disorder. What is the word borderline in that?
Yeah, in some ways, it's a misleading term. Really, to understand where the idea of borderline came from, you have to go back quite a few decades to a period of time where doctors and psychologists and researchers were trying to better understand the various forms of mental illness. And they identified what we now think of as the psychosis, so schizophrenia, and the term that used to be used for what we now refer to as anxiety disorders, neurosis. But they identified a group of problems that sat somewhere in between those. They were borderline between the two. And the term sort of stuck.
So not to say that you're on a borderline of feeling some issues or having those, but that you're in the borderline between a couple of known conditions.
Well, that's the way it was considered. You know, if you go back several decades, these days we have a better understanding of how you can identify different mm-hmm. types of personality mm-hmm. disorder. There are a number of which borderline personality disorder is probably the best known.
So how does it affect a person's life?
Well, it makes life very, very difficult to live. So as you can imagine, if you're trying to live your life and you're having difficulty controlling your emotions, the way you think, the way you feel, that will have a negative impact on how you interact with other people. You know, loved ones, family members, work, in my case, you know, university studies, for instance. This goes from sort of, you know, mid-teens through into the early 20s, the developmental stages, and then can go on for decades into life if not treated effectively.
So when you talk about uncontrollable emotions or thoughts, we're talking persistently negative thoughts and inability to perhaps work, socialise, form friendships?
Yes, absolutely. People tend to be very down on themselves. Mm. So the term that's sometimes used is self-invalidation. Mm. You know, you look at yourself in negative terms, the person would assume that they have all sorts of difficulties, which in many instances are correct, in how they deal with other people. They have difficulty managing relationships.
And I imagine then it affects some people worse than others, to the point where some people probably can't work. Would that be fair?
It would be very difficult to work. So there are high levels of disability with BPD.
What does it mean then for you to be the ambassador for BPD Awareness Week?
Yes. So the Australian BPD Foundation has really designated a week each year, and this year it's the 1st to the 7th of October to be BPD Awareness Week. This is, I think, about the third or fourth year that we've had it, so it's still fairly early on at this stage. So my role as ambassador really is to take up opportunities such as the one that you've offered this morning to speak about BPD, but to try and do so in much more positive terms than what it's usually spoken about. You know, to point out, for instance, that although it can be quite a disabling form of mental ill health, there are evidence-based treatments. And the problem is perhaps not so much that we can't help people, it's that people can't get access to services or don't know about them. And, of course, stigma and discrimination is a very, very big issue. So trying to make people in the community, help people in the community to better understand what BPD is and to be more supportive and more understanding of those who live their lives with it.
What can we do at a health system level too to make sure we're better supporting people with BPD?
I think understanding. Certainly, to be very aware of the very, very severely negative impacts of stigma For instance, that's an issue with all forms of mental health problems, but it's particularly true for personality disorder, and it's particularly true for borderline personality disorder. And, you know, I see it from people on the street have poorly formed understandings of BPD and what can be done to help people with it. But sadly, I see it amongst some of my health professional colleagues as well.
Mm. Professor Mike Hazelton is here, Professor of Mental Health Nursing from the University of Newcastle, 18 to 9 on ABC Newcastle. And Professor Hazelton is the ambassador for Borderline Personality Disorder Awareness Week. We hear about borderline personality disorder in the media, popular culture even. There have been depictions of that. But I felt really sad to learn just how much it can lead to self-harm and these terrible Indeed. Impacts in people's lives. Does having a better understanding of it in the community, can that help lessen the impact in a person's life?
Oh, I think very much so. I think sometimes some of the self-harm and the very negative consequences of living with BPD are outcomes of the way in which people who suffer from it interact with others. And I think if what they're getting, you know, if they're very, very, if there's a high tendency toward them self-invalidating, and that's reinforced by other people who contribute further invalidation, it's very likely to make it worse.
If people are hearing this and they're thinking, I'm not diagnosed, but I'm hearing some things that are ringing true, what is the first step? Your GP?
I would say a GP. I would usually recommend that you know, GPs are gatekeepers to most of the rest of the healthcare system. So going and having a really good, honest talk with your GP, your family doctor, to get things rolling. I mean, eventually it would lead very likely to sessions with a psychologist at the very least, and then maybe other services within the mental health system. But I think a GP is a good starting point.
If you're in a moment of crisis now or you need some support right now, Lifeline is there too for you right now. 13 11 14 is the number.